الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا وحبيبنا محمد عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. قال الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى ساداتنا من النبيين والمرسلين، سيدنا آدم وسيدنا نوح وسيدنا إبراهيم وسيدنا موسى وسيدنا عيسى بن مريم وعلى سائر الأنبياء والمرسلين يا رب العالمين. We begin, my beloved elders, my brothers and sisters, praising and thanking Allah Almighty, Allah the creator of all that exists, the sustainer and the evolver of all that exists, the one who has no partner in his essence, in his attributes, or in his actions or his dominion over creation. We praise him and we thank him for those blessings that we know of and those we do not know of. And we praise him with those praises that we know of and those that we have no knowledge of. And we ask that he multiply our praises and thanks for him to the number of everything in creation, that which we know of and that which we do not know of. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to cover that which is ugly in us and to manifest that which is beautiful in us. Because this is the meaning, the essence of the meaning of ghufran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And we ask that he save us from the evil of our souls and the evil of our misdeeds. And we bear witness that none can be guided whom Allah ta'ala allows to go astray. And none will be led astray whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides. And we bear witness that there is no creator, there is no God, no object of worship that is deserving of our absolute humility and devotion and love except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that our beloved Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, our master, our guide, our teacher, the one who brings tears of joy to our eyes, that he is the last prophet and messenger to all of humanity. And we pray and we ask Allah Ta'ala to bless all of our masters and leaders from the prophets and messengers, among them our father Adam and our master Noah and our master Abraham and our masters Moses and Jesus Christ, the son of Mary, and all of the prophets and messengers before them and among them, ending with our beloved Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I thank Allah Ta'ala for bringing us together again. And I pray that Allah Ta'ala gather us in the best of places, in the best of company, at the best of times. The message I want to share with you today is a simple one. But oftentimes when you're building a house, the most simple part of the house, the part of the house that's the least elaborate, that's least luxurious, is the foundation, isn't it? The foundation doesn't look that fancy, but the foundation of a home, the foundation of a masjid, the foundation of a skyscraper, whatever building, whatever edifice you are constructing, This, the foundation is the most crucial and essential piece in that process of building something on this earth. And our message today is about transcending the self, transcending the ego, transcending the nafs, transcending anania, transcending individualism. And the key to building the beloved community, a community that's beloved with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's beloved to the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a community that is beloved to humanity, and communion with God. Selflessness, ithar, is one of the key elements in building ijtima', in building a mujtama', in building a society. And you've been looking at community as one of the four prophetic spheres over the past few months. And I just want to share a few words. This is just a reminder. Just a reminder about the importance of not being self-centered, of not being egocentric, if we want to taste the halawa, the sweetness of community life. If we want to taste the sweetness and we want to see the beauty and we want to feel the power that comes when human beings are in sync with one another. When you look at the natural world, Allah Ta'ala says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. We are showing them and we will show them our signs, our proofs in the horizons and in their own souls, in their own selves, until it is manifestly clear to them that this is, that He is the truth. And when you look at the natural world, when you look at nature, when you go on a hike, you'll see that the animals and the plants exist in these ecosystems. And the trees that are tall are not trying to take down the trees that are short. And the trees that are short are not trying to take down or suffocate the trees that are tall. And the plants that are on the bottom of the ecosystem, close to the ground, they're not taking down the trees that are in the canopy. And the animals like the moles and the worms that are inside the earth are not undermining the animals that walk above the earth. And then this is a sign that everyone in the community has a role that they must play, has a function in the ecosystem of our community. And for us to have harmony, the harmony that the prophets and messengers experienced, the harmony that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah bless him and grant him peace with his family and his companions, that they experienced this iman, by which without it our faith is not completed. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah bless him and grant him peace, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibbu li nafsi ma yuhibbu li akhi, that none of you has truly believed until he loves for his brother, and by extension, her sister, that which they love for themselves. And so in Surah Al-Hashr, the 59th surah of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala illustrates and demonstrates for us the reality of this hadith. What does it mean to love for others what you love for yourself? And this is the level of the mu'min. This is the level of the person who is secure and in their relationship with Allah. Because Islam is not just about worshiping Allah. Islam is not only about performing devotional rituals to Allah, Jalla Jalalo. Islam is about its deen. Its deen. It's about having a relationship with Allah Ta'ala. It's about transacting with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Even the surah that we recite at least 17 times a day in our obligatory prayers, Al-Fatiha. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam called it As-Salah. وقسمت بيننا وبين ربنا. And it has been divided between us and our nurturer, subhanahu wa ta'ala, between us and our Lord. It's a conversation between us and Allah ta'ala. And so in Surah Al-Hashr, in the 8th through the 10th verses, Allah ta'ala says, demonstrating what true ukhuwa is, describing the muhajirun and the ansar, the immigrants, and the helpers of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala says, بَدَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَلِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Allah says about them regarding the poor, who from the immigrants, those who were brought out, who were exiled, who were separated from their homes, separated from their wealth, from their money. Why were they separated? Separated because they were seeking the bounty of Allah and His satisfaction, seeking the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. These were immigrants who left Mecca to Medina, not because, as the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the hadith that's mutafakun alayh, hadith that's agreed upon by the great imams Bukhari and Muslim. أَمَّا مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَمَنْ كَانَ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَمْ مِنْ رَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. There were not people who were immigrating because they got a promotion and they needed to transfer to take a job. They were not people who were immigrating because they found a spouse, a husband, or a wife, offline or online, and they needed to move to another city to marry them. These were people who left their lands, seeking only by that the bounty of Allah and His satisfaction. And so many of us have come to this land seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the fadl of Allah Ta'ala in this land, seeking the bounty of Allah in this land, seeking the satisfaction of Allah in this land. And this ayah is giving you glad tidings. But if you came to this land for some material benefit, then it's not too late to change your intention. Because this, my beloved brothers and sisters and elders, is key to building brotherhood and sisterhood in Islam. Because the intention, the ruh, the spirit of our actions must be in harmony with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order for the muhajirun and the ansar of this generation, of this time, because in this very masjid, we have people who are muhajirun, who are like the muhajirun. They immigrated to this land. They immigrated to this city from other cities in the United States. And then we have Ansar, we have the natives, people who are from Boston, people who are from Roxbury, where the great Hajj Malik Shabazz, Rahmatul Alayh, Allah have mercy upon him, Malcolm X, where he lived just around the corner. Some of you are from this city, from this neighborhood. Your role is to be like Ansar. And Allah describes in this ayah how the immigrants are, what their internal state is. Because this state is necessary for the community to thrive. Rectifying islah niyya, islah al-umniyya is necessary if we are to be true brothers and sisters. And what does Allah Ta'ala say about them? Seeking, and they are those who help Allah. They give victory to Allah and His Messenger by helping His religion, helping His deen, using your gifts, using your professional skills, using your time, using your knowledge, using your ability to organize, to help Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that help is reified, that help is materialized in your help to the slaves of Allah, to the creatures of Allah, to the masjid, to your neighbors, even if they are not Muslim, to the least and most vulnerable of humanity that's right here. It is by your clarifying to others the truth of this deen. And then Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Those are they who are truthful. And this should be important to us. These are the people who are sadiq. They have siddiq. They are transparent. They are honest. They are true in their relationship with Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and with humanity. They're the same in public and in private. They don't act one way when they're around the Muslims or at the masjid, and they act less than that when they're alone. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. And this definition Allah Ta'ala has given us is important, because in another ayah in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be reverent to Allah. Be obedient to Allah and avoid His prohibitions, seeking His pleasure. And be with those who are truthful. How do you know those who are sadiq? There are people who are seeking the bounty of Allah, people who are seeking the ridwan, the satisfaction of Allah, people who are helping day and night, using in whatever arena they're in, whatever arena of society Allah has placed you in, they are helping Allah and His Messenger with their words and their deeds and their character and their spiritual state. Allah Ta'ala says that those who have made Ad-Dar, made the city of Medina their settling place, those who have made Iman their settling place. It's a beautiful metaphor. It's as if Allah Ta'ala is saying that the Ansar, the helpers of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wa sahbihi in Medina, they took not only Medina as their place of residence, but they made Iman their place of residence. They made faith their place of residence. They who preceded them, some in living in Medina, those, and some of which the Mufassirun say, those some of whom even believed before them, those are the ones who love those who immigrate to them. They love the immigrants. They love the muhajirun. And if you are from this country, if you are from this city, this is the state your heart should be in towards those who come from other cities and from other countries. There needs to be mahabba. When mahabba is al-mail ila al-ghair, it is that you incline to the other. And it is that it is iradatul khair lil-ghair. And it is that you love good for those that are other than you. And they don't have, Allah Ta'ala says about them, they have no need, fi sudurihim, and their sadar. And the sadar is the outermost reality of the human heart. Allah gives us five words for the heart in the Quran. As-sadar, as-shaghaf, al-qalb, al-fu'ad, al-lub. They all indicate different levels of who we are inside. And the sadr is the outermost part, and it is the only part that shaitan has access to. Alladhina yuwaswisu fi, alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. The one, Allah says about him, who whispers into the sadr of humanity. Even in that outermost part of their core, they have no envy, there's no jealousy, they have no want, they have realized zuhud in their hearts, indifference towards the material possessions of those who are immigrating. There's no jealousy, there's no rancor between them and those who are immigrating. وَيُؤَثِّرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And they prefer them over their own souls. They prefer them over them their own selves. And this, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he embodied this. And the Ansar embodied this. That they preferred others over themselves. They gave of their wealth. They gave of their own time and their knowledge to those who immigrated. We have stories about the Sahaba, who even when they were in Khasasa, Al-Khasasa, Khusus al-Bayt, those who, even in the things of their own household, the food of their home, the furniture of their home, they gave that up to the muhajirun. And so this is the state. This is the character of those who are immigrants. I'm sorry, who are ansar, who are helpers, and who are welcoming those who are immigrants. And as we look at the world, we have a global refugee crisis. And we have people who are calling on humanity to lock their doors and turn their backs on those who are immigrating. And in this ayah, we have an example, we have an uswa of how we should treat those who are coming to us. وَهَذَا الْأَثِيرُ is the one who, even when you're in need, this is a level of brotherhood where I don't just love for you what I love for myself. The person who has ithar is the one who, even though I have a need, even though I have a want, I prefer that you have it. It is a level of ukhuwa. It's a level of brotherhood that we should all strive for, and that is possible, and that says to others, I will take less so that others can have more. I will take little so that others can have plenty. And this is what liberates us, so that we can taste the sweetness of Iman that Allah Ta'ala has promised these people. So we ask that Allah Ta'ala make us among those who immigrate seeking the satisfaction of Allah. That He make us among those who immigrate seeking the bounty of Allah. That He make us among those who welcome those who are immigrating. Those who, as true brothers and sisters, when they engage the traveler, when they engage the stranger, when they engage the refugee, when they engage the immigrant, they prefer them over themselves. They prefer their that they have the wealth, and that they suffice with what Allah Ta'ala gives them. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. قال الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. And in the next ayah, after the ayat that we recited in the first half of the khutbah, Allah describes a third group of people. In the first ayah, the eighth ayah in Surah Al-Hashr, Allah Ta'ala describes the muhajirun, those who leave their land or are brought out of their land, seeking nothing but Allah. And then Allah describes the ansar, the people who are in their home city, in their homeland, in their hometown, and how they should be. And then in this third ayah, Allah describes a third group of people. These are those who come after them. And specifically, the ayah relates to at-tabi'un, the generation after the muhajirun and the ansar, the generation that came after the companions. And generally, it refers to all man tabi'uhum bi ihsan ila yawm al-din. Those who follow them, the muhajirun and the ansar, in these sifats, in these nu'uts, in these attributes, in these characteristics, hatta yawm al-qiyamah, until the day of judgment. And so you and I are included among this group that Allah says about them, those who came after them. They say, yaqulun rabbana, our Lord, our nurturer, forgive us, and our brothers who preceded us in faith. And don't put any ghil in our hearts, don't put any hatred in our hearts for those who have embodied the reality of Iman, for those who've embodied the reality of faith. Rabbana, our Lord, indeed you are Ra'uf Rahim. You are exceedingly, absolutely loving and merciful. And you are absolutely and unconditionally gracious in your essence. As Ibn Qayyim says, this is the meaning of Ar-Rahman. And to all creatures, according to Ibn Qayyim, Rahim indicates the Rahmah of Allah Ta'ala for all creatures. And according to the Jumhur, the majority of our scholars, Rahim indicates Allah Ta'ala's mercy and His grace specifically, khasatan lil mu'minin, for the believers in this life and especially on the Day of Judgment. So this is the dua we should be making every day. And if you don't get anything out of this khutbah except this, kafi, it's enough. Make this prayer a part of your daily devotion. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. My Lord, our Lord, forgive us and those who preceded us in faith. So we pray for those who came before us, those Muslims who were before us in this land. The history of Islam in America goes back, some historians say, almost 800 years. Almost 800 years Islam has been in this country. We should be praying for the Muslims that were here before us. Make this part of your daily devotional prayers. And pray for yourselves. And then pray that Allah Ta'ala not place any ghil. Because this is the nature of the soul. The last time I was here, we spoke about the ascent of the human being. And the darajat an-nufus, the different degrees of the soul. And if a person's soul is at the lower degrees, nafs al-amara, nafs al-lawama, hatta nafs al-mulhima, these lower souls, the soul that commands and incites to evil, the soul that is reproachful of itself, the soul that's inspired with knowledge of its taqwa and its corruption, فَالْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, Allah Ta'ala says, then the tendency is to feel ghil, to feel hatred, to feel rancor towards at least one person in the community. And freedom, freedom from that ghil, freedom from that hatred is based on tawfiq from Allah Ta'ala and your striving against the nafs. And ithar, selflessness, tadhiya, sacrificing for others. Not just your family. You see, when most people wake up in the morning, my beloved brothers and sisters, their concern is themselves. What am I going to do to make it today? What am I going to do to meet my deadlines? What am I going to do so that my bank account has however many zeros I want in it? And if they're a little more transcendent, they are thinking about their family as well, their wife, their husband, their children. Like when I was studying in Nigeria, one of my dear friends said to me, the man who leaves his house thinking about only his stomach, it's not like the man who leaves the house thinking about his stomach and the stomachs of his family. Shatana bainahuma. What a difference there is between the two of them. But then there are some people who wake up every morning who are thinking about the community. This is not restricted to the imam or to the sheikh or to the staff of the masjid or to the board. It doesn't matter if you're a plumber or a politician. It doesn't matter if you're a dentist or a doctor. It doesn't matter if you're an artist or an activist. They wake up concerned with the well-being of the entire community. Every Muslim family, what can I do with my talents and skills to make this masjid a better place, to make this community a better place? And then there are other people that wake up concerned about humanity. May Allah make us among them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alayhi, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, afdalul amal ba'da al-iman billah atawadud ila an-nas, that the best action after faith in Allah is loving kindness towards humanity. it's related in a, with a Hassan chain by Imam Tabarani and Imam As-Suyuti. May Allah be pleased with both of them. And so in conclusion, we pray for forgiveness, and our Imam Al-Ghazali, one of our great Imams of Islamic spirituality and theology, he said the reality of ghufran is ghita al-qaba'ih. It is that Allah cover your ugliness, that Allah cover your dhunub and your sayyi'at and your ma'asi and atham, wa idhar al-hasanat, wa idhar al-jamal. Is that Allah, and the second part of ghufran, the second aspect of forgiveness, is that Allah manifest and make known and visible to people the good, the beauty that is in you, your good deeds. See, we don't look at ghufran, forgiveness, just from a Judeo-Christian lens of forgiveness of sins. There are two aspects to it. And so when you're praying for the forgiveness of yourself and those who came before you, you're actually asking Allah Ta'ala to not only cover your faults, but to show your good to the world. To not only cover the faults of those who came before you, because we all have faults. That's why they say don't throw, those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. We all have shortcomings. We are asking that Allah show us the good of those who came before us and the good of our brothers, and that there not be hatred in our hearts towards those who have iman. And the least of iman is that you, a person say, La ilaha illallah with siddiq. That a person say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with truthfulness, with sincerity. If a person has that, that dharra, that speck, that atom of iman, we're looking for the good that's in them. And we don't write anybody off. People will make mistakes. People will commit sins. People will rub you the wrong way. But the way of the prophets, the way of the Sahaba, the way of the family of the Prophet ﷺ was to forgive. Was to forgive. And so in conclusion, this day, we are in the week that the 10th of Muharram, the 10th of Muharram, Ashura, fell. And in this, on this day that just passed us a few days ago, we commemorate and we celebrate and we thank Allah Ta'ala for the liberation of Bani Israel, the Israelites, and Prophet Musa alayhi salam from Pharaoh, from the tyrant of their time. And in this is a great example of ithar. Moses alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, could have just saved himself and his brother. But Allah Ta'ala commanded him to go back to Pharaoh. وَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ لَيِّنًا. Say to him gentle words. Say to Pharaoh. To Pharaoh. Gentle words. In order that he be reminded. In order that he turn back to Allah Ta'ala. This is the principle of how we engage those who are dictators and despots. قُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ لَيِّنًا. Musa alayhi salam could have just freed the faithful from the Bani Israel, but he freed even those who later would ask him to make idols for them like they had in Egypt. See, ithar. This is showing love and preference even for others, even when there's discomfort for your own self. And we also, on this 10th of Muharram, Muslims all over the world, Muslims from every school of thought, they remember the sacrifice and the service of the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them, who he could have stayed in Mecca or Medina, but he chose to leave because he did not want bloodshed in the Haramain. He could have gone with an army to Damascus, but he didn't. He chose to go towards Iraq because he did not want rebellion and violence. He chose the safety of the Muslim Ummah. He chose the well-being of the Muslim Ummah over his own haq, over his own right as he saw it. There's a great lesson in this. And as I always tell people as we end, the person in American history that, in my view, most resembled Hussein radiallahu anhu was Malcolm X, who, as I said, grew up just around the corner, lived just around the corner for a few years of his young life. And he, like Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhuma, even though he knew his death was imminent, Malcolm X, rahmatul alayh, he chose to come back to the United States and fight for the freedom of African Americans, of poor Americans, the freedom of white Americans from racism. He chose that. He could have stayed in Ghana. He could have stayed in Egypt. He was warned, but he had ithar. It wasn't about himself. And on the day that he was martyred at the Audubon Ballroom in Harlem, Manhattan, you can read the transcripts for yourself. Malcolm X, rahmatul alayh, he told his bodyguards, sit down. I don't want you to defend me today. They couldn't believe what they were hearing. Because he knew and they knew that there was a bounty on his head. There were many different organizations that couldn't wait to assassinate him. Malcolm knew that day it was very likely he would die. Well, actually not die, because martyrs don't die. They live. لَتَحْسِبَنَ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مُوَاتَ. Don't think those who are slain in the way of Allah are dead. And so he told his bodyguards, I don't need you today. Why? Because he did not want them to come in harm's way. This is ithar, my beloveds. This is what selflessness is. This is what sacrifice is. So we ask that Allah Ta'ala help us to emulate the prophets and messengers. We ask that Allah Ta'ala help us to emulate the muhajirun and the ansar. We ask that Allah Ta'ala help us to emulate those who had faith in these lands before us. We ask that Allah Ta'ala help us to emulate those from the salihin and the siddiqeen wa shuhada. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. Oh Allah, we ask that you forgive the believing men and believing women, and the submitting men and submitting women, the living amongst them and the dead. Oh Allah Ta'ala, we ask that you give us success to do that which you are pleased with and that which is beloved to you. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala Ali Sayyidina Ibrahim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama barakta ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala Ali Sayyidina Ibrahim fil alamin innaka حميد مجيد. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم وفقنا لاتباع سنة نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بجاهي عندك. اللهم اكفينا بحلالك عن حرامك واغنينا بفضلك عمن سواك. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيم الصلاة. Yeah.